Jesus loves to teach in parables, right? He loves to use common imagery of the common people. He tells these stories that resonate with peasants and farmers, with shepherds and gardeners. And if you were to open your Bible to this section of Matthew's gospel, you would see all kinds of agricultural language. Jesus and the disciples pick grain and eat it on the Sabbath, it says. Then he talks about, you will know a tree by its fruit. He tells parables about sowing seeds and weeds and wheat and mustard seeds. I think Jesus would really love Wild Earth Church, yeah? Last week, I was up in Iowa over the holiday with my family, and when I go up there, it's farmland as far as the eye can see. And this year when we were up there, something happened that had not happened for a very long time. Friends, I did some farm work. I know, it's strange. My dad and my brother needed help shoveling corn out of a grain bin to load up the semi-truck. And so I went to help them, and we got so focused on the shoveling that no one was paying attention that the truck was getting full, and the corn started flowing over the other side onto the gravel path, which isn't a good thing. Now, the best part of this experience for me is that for once, that mistake wasn't my fault. Usually, growing up as a kid, that was the case, which is why I'm not a farmer. But corn is precious, right? And so at the end, we tried to scoop up as much as we can because you don't want to waste it. But at the bottom, it's mixed with gravel and rocks, and you can't sell that. You can't really grow it either. At best, it might just stay there and get eaten by animals, birds or squirrels. Now, for my family up in Iowa, this was not a huge loss. I mean, this is just a little bit. It's minuscule in the grand scheme of this, but you still don't want to waste it. But in the ancient world, and in many poorer parts of the world even today, seeds are precious. Seeds are necessary for life. You know, I have a dear friend in Uganda that I met from many years ago when I was there, and his family relies on seeds year after year. The food they grow is not only for income, but it's food for them to eat, and so they need those seeds for the next season. So if there's a drought or a rough year, they can be in real trouble because those seeds are precious. I share all this to help us understand a profound message in this parable that's easy to miss. And that's that no farmer or gardener just scatters seeds randomly. No farmer scatters seeds in places where they know it's not going to grow. And so right out of the gate, Jesus is playing with our expectations to teach us something about God. The sower of this seed is ridiculously generous. Even if the message, if the gospel might fall on deaf ears, even if the message might get lost or rejected, God is generous with sharing the good news of the gospel. The good news of God's love goes out to everyone with reckless abandon. Everyone gets to hear, but do we understand? At the heart of the parable is this question. You hear the teaching of Jesus, but do you understand those teachings? Do they take root in your heart and bear fruit in your life? And what is the difference between hearing something and understanding something, right? Maybe you can think of it this way. Anyone who's ever been in a relationship or been married maybe knows the difference between you're hearing my words, but you're not really understanding me, right? So what does this mean for us today? If the sower is generous, if you hear God's word, then why does sometimes it seem to bear little fruit? Well, a couple of thoughts. In a culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame, the answer might be this. Well, you blame the sower. The sower didn't sow the seeds right. It's not my fault. Blame the seed. It was bad seed. You blame the weather. You blame the birds or the thorns. It's not my fault. But the way of Jesus calls us to take responsibility, to reflect on our own hearts. And so in this parable, Jesus gives us some tools to do just that. So let's kind of look at each of these examples he gives. Some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Now, it's important to note that the English translation here of this particular parable, it loses some intensity of the words Jesus uses. He uses some pretty intense words, and the English translation loses that nuance. For example, the word for ate up, actually, there's a different word for eat in Greek. This word means devoured. So a better translation might be the evil one came and devoured the seeds. So before the message has a chance to take root, something swoops in and devours it, and it's gone. What does this mean? Well, I think maybe like this. Maybe someone comes to worship every weekend. Maybe that person hears the message, love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. And you hear it and you nod along and think, okay, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense to me. But then you go home and you make the grave mistake that many of us do, and you open Facebook, and before you know it, you're scrolling through things of people slandering others, speaking ill of others, saying those people are your enemies and they need to be defeated and put in their place. And then you click like and you click share, and the algorithm of outrage feeds you more. Before the word can take root, something comes in and sweeps it away. See what I mean? The next one, Jesus says, maybe some seed fell on rocky ground, but when the sun rose, those plants were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. You know, maybe you hear the message and you get really excited and you want to go all in. I'm going to do this and this and this. And then something happens and life gets tough. Life happens and that fire you felt in your heart, it fades away. I think this example Jesus uses is like the New Year's resolution of faith, right? In January, you're like, I'm going to eat 100% healthy and I'm going to exercise every day. And by the 7th of January, man, that bowl of ice cream looks real good, right? You get excited, but something gets in the way. And that fire fades. The third example, he says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. Now, this is the place where I was fascinated this week, because the words Jesus uses here in the Greek are far more intense than this nice-ified English version. The lure of wealth, that word lure, is actually better translated as deceit, or delusion, or even seduction. And the word choke here, that's the same word you would use for strangling someone. There's a violence behind these words Jesus is using. It could literally be translated, the deceitful seduction of wealth strangles the word. Jesus is kind of intense here. But then finally, he says, but as for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and indeed it bears fruit. You know, friends, as I reflect on this passage, I think we can hear this teaching and maybe become a bit discouraged, because I don't know about you, but my heart is not always good soil. It's not always that way. Sometimes I'm distracted by the allure of material things. Sometimes my heart is like rocky ground. I want to give it my all, this thing called following Jesus, but then something gets in the way and distracts. I think all of us are probably a little bit of all of these things at different points in time, right? We all struggle with different aspects of each example in our heart, maybe in different times, maybe in different seasons. Maybe one of these things Jesus says resonates with you more than the others. But here is the good news. Soil can change, right? The worst soil can become good. In fact, any farmer, any gardener knows that the most essential process and practice of growing anything fruitful is tending the soil, right? You amend it, you add things to it to make it better and better and better. That means that wherever your heart is today, it can become good soil. And so the question for me is, how do we allow the Spirit to work in us, to move in our hearts, to move us from being like the path or the thorns or the rocks to becoming more like that good soil? Because I want my life to be fruitful. Amen? When we look back on our lives, we want to know that what we did bore good fruit in this world. So how do we allow God to help us move from simply hearing to understanding, from being rocky ground to being fruitful soil? I think one first question we have to ask is, what are you putting into your heart, right? In a garden, you put in things like fertilizer and compost. At least that's what I'm told. I've never done that successfully. But you put that into the soil to improve it, right? You don't go out to your garden and put your trash in there. You don't go dump your empty paint cans in there. That would be toxic. And yet sometimes we do that with our hearts. What are you putting into your heart? Are you fixating on things like blame or selfishness, bitterness or anger? Are you putting things of God in your heart? Compassion, mercy, kindness, forgiveness. So what does that look like? Well, here's a few thoughts. If you find yourself like the analogy of the path, where the things come and sweep away before it can take root, maybe God is inviting you to slow down, to spend more time in the Word, to turn off the noise, to turn off the other voices that snatch away the joy of the Lord from your heart, and spend quiet time with God. Spend time in prayer. Meditate on God's Word. Maybe you find yourself kind of like the rocky ground, and maybe God's inviting you then to be more intentional about Christian community. Maybe that means going deeper with a small group or a Bible study or some way to be around other Christians to talk about what God is doing in your life so that it will help you to stay accountable and on track and strong in your faith. Or maybe if you resonate with the analogy of being choked by thorns, maybe that's a struggle for you. Question you could ask is, am I using what God has given me for good for others? Maybe a helpful practice is finding ways to grow in generosity or to be more intentional about serving in the community, help push back those thorns. It can even be small practices. One example that I'll share from my own life is I have an Android phone because Android's better than iPhones. You can argue with me later. But if you have an Android phone, you might know this. There's a feature where it gives you the Google feed, and you swipe this way from the home screen, and it shows you a bunch of news stories and advertisements and all these things it thinks that you want to learn about or dive into that you'll click on. And what it shows me, if you're like me, it shows you things like new guitar pedals or musical instruments you should buy or video games or other tech things that all of a sudden I found myself coveting all this stuff. And it wasn't good for me, so I turned off that feature. A small practice, but my heart is in a better place. Whatever it is for you, what is God calling you to do? Because wherever you find yourself, know that the Holy Spirit is still working in your life. God is with you. God is there to speak to you, to guide and invite you into something deeper. Because we all long for purpose, right? We all long for our life to have meaning deep down inside. We all long to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, and God is inviting us to do just that. So let God work in your heart. Let it become good soil. When we do, we start to discover that we are connected to something bigger than ourselves. We are connected to Jesus, the true vine, and we are joined with him. An amazing work that bears fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that even though sometimes our hearts are like rocky ground or choked by thorns, God, you never give up on us. You continue to scatter the seeds of your word, your love, into our lives each and every day. Lord, help our hearts to transform, to become that good soil, that your word would bear fruit through our lives, that we would become more and more like you with each new day. God, we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name.